What every American worker can learn from Trump's first 100 days.
Money-saving tips from the savvy reporters at MarketWatch.com. This is Money, Markets, and More.
Hi, I'm Quentin Fottrell.
And I'm Alessandra Melito, filling in for Katie Hill.
And you're listening to Money, Markets, and More, where we talk about the most fascinating personal finance stories of the week. And this week, Ali, we're discussing President Trump's first 100 days. Now, there's been a lot said about what he has done and hasn't done and his executive orders and the fact that his immigration ban has not been successful for him and that the repeal of Obamacare did not happen. But you had an interesting story for MarketWatch about how we can all learn from our own first 100 days in a new job.
Yeah, definitely. So the first 100 days of a new job is important not only for the president, but for everybody. It's really a good time. It sets the stage for employers on what they can expect from employees. And at the same time, employees can get a sense of if they made the right decision by working with this company and what they can do to set the stage for their future at this company. So there were a ton of things that a person should do in their first 100 days. And a lot of it has to do with goals, you know, setting goals and seeing that you're doing what is expected of you. So such as like reading the description of the job and seeing that you're actually accomplishing everything that you want to accomplish.
So making sure you have that, like you don't forget, what you're saying is you should constantly refer to that and make sure you don't lose sight of what your job actually entails, because sometimes people start a job and then they're in it. Like, how often do you hear this? They're in it, in the job a week or two, and then they say, this isn't what I signed up for.
Yeah,
this is, these aren't the duties that I was told I was going to be doing.
And that could be a nightmare.
Yeah. So we have Vicky Salemi, a career expert for jobsite monster.com, on the line. And we also have in the studio Jacob Passy, who, now this might be a bit meta, but Jacob is currently experiencing his first 100 days at MarketWatch. But you're also our other de facto workplace correspondent. You also write a lot about workplace issues, so we thought you would have something to say. So coming to you first, Vicky, what about what Ali just said about job reviewing the job description and how oftentimes people find themselves doing tasks that maybe they didn't think they had signed up for? And in that situation, what should you do?
There are a couple things you need to do with that. The first thing we need to back up is I always tell people to hold on to that job description from your interview, whether that means copying it into a Word document and saving it for a later date. You want to have that, because once you get hired, if you don't hold on to that, once you get hired, it kind of disappears from your mind, and you have an idea about what the job entails, but you don't necessarily have something concrete on paper. So what you need to first do is pull out that job description and take a mental note every day. Okay, what am I doing? What does this align with the actual job description that I signed up for? Like you were saying, Quentin, like you might get there and say, wait a minute, I'm doing 10 extra things, and this does not seem accurate or on point. And then what you need to do from there is jot everything down, make an outline for yourself, and ask for some time on your boss's calendar. You need to make sure that you're both on the same wavelength, because they may not be aware at all, or they might be and say, you know what, you interviewed in February, you started now, and it's in April, and the job changed, and the job description you have that you interviewed for is a little bit obsolete.
Right. That is our second point. Set up routine meetings with the boss. And that, I guess, is what they call managing up, isn't it, Ali?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being proactive. And, in fact, so I found a survey that said that employees who had routine meetings with their managers were three times as likely to be engaged in their jobs than those who didn't have meetings. And, you know, what's better than feeling like you're doing a good job at work and you're actually happy at your job?
Right. Jacob, what do you make of all this?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to not just, you know, how you act when you get into the job, but when I was reading the article, it struck me as a lot of this stuff is stuff you need to be doing before you're even in the job to begin with, you know.
Right.
It shows how important the job hiring process and how you act within it is. You know, if you're, you know, there's there's always the old tip that when you go into a job interview, your answers to the interviewer's questions are just as important as the questions you ask them. And I think that, you know, making sure when you're in the hiring process that you're asking questions, that you're getting honest answers, that you're having a real dialogue about what the job is and what the expectations are, that'll just set you up well once you're in the job. If you go in with a different set of expectations than what's on paper, then you might not be able to transition as smoothly into the new position as you otherwise would. And also, you know, another point that Ali brought up that I thought was so important was the importance of fitting into the workplace culture and getting a sense of you know, interpersonal interactions and, you know, how people enjoy hanging out with each other, what the real cultural fit is like for you. And that's something you get a really good sense of during an interview process. You know, if you're feeling like you're being rubbed the wrong way by someone who's interviewing you, maybe it's not the best job for you.
I want to talk about cultural fit right after this break.
For more insights, enable the Wall Street Journal skill on any device with Amazon Alexa. Get all of our podcasts, as well as the latest news and market updates. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously. Now, back to the show.
And we're back with Jacob Passy, MarketWatch reporter, and Vicky Salemi, a career expert for jobsitemonster.com. Vicky, Jacob was just talking about whether you're a cultural fit. We hear this a lot. Now, hopefully you can do some recon before you take a job and find out what kind of things you should be looking for. Can you give us some advice on the sort of red flags that somebody might see either before or during their first 100 days on the job that might suggest this isn't the job for you from a cultural perspective?
Definitely. I should add, I'm a former corporate recruiter, and it wasn't uncommon every now and then for candidates to withdraw themselves from the interview process just because something felt off. So when you see some of these red flags, it's okay to not proceed with the interview and just tactfully and succinctly say, you know what, this is not, I'm not going to proceed, I'm going to withdraw. Some of them are your boss and the rapport that you may have with your boss, or in this case, not have with your potential boss on an interview. Let's say they're rude, they're disrespectful to other people, like your potential colleagues, prospective colleagues. Maybe they're not making eye contact with you. Maybe they're talking over you and interrupting you. Another one could be overall culturally, and I always tell candidates, I advise them to look around the office, and if they're stumped for a question, they should always ask the interviewer, is this a loud or a quiet office? And that will tell you a lot about the culture, as well as how you prefer to work. Are you more of an independent person, or are you a team player, or is it a combination of both? And do you thrive in a boisterous, really active office, or one that's a little bit more quiet? Some other things could be definitely check. You have to check out the employer's social media feeds while you're interviewing. And, for instance, on Twitter, you could see if they're active in terms of community involvement. And you need to know what your priorities are with a company and the cultural fit that you're looking for. And then from there, assess whether or not what you see, hear, and observe are in alignment with that. And sometimes during the interview, you may not get a sense of that. Let's say you do a Skype interview, and you only meet them in person during the last round. Well, then you really haven't gotten a true sense of what's going on in the office. So don't beat yourself up once you start working there if you're saying to yourself, oh, my gosh, this is not a good fit for me. People seem really unethical, and why didn't I pick up on these signs during the interview? Sometimes you may not, and other times you may think it's a dream employer, and you may be interviewing with some rose-colored glasses on and overlooking some more obvious signs. Let's say if people seem to be, you know, bad-mouthing other colleagues in front of you, especially during an interview and things like that, then it's okay to tell yourself, you know what, this is not a fit, and that's okay because there are other companies out there that will be.
We talked a little bit about this on the phone before, but what happens when you do get into that situation? I mean, it could seem a little uncomfortable or awkward because you just started this job and now you're looking for another job, and like, how can you talk to future interviewers about that?
Mm-hmm. I completely understand what happens is you know, you're thinking, okay, I'm here all of 4 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever it is. I should stick it out. But odds are it's only going to get worse, and it's going to be harder for you to be to enjoy the role and succeed and thrive in it if you're really unhappy. So from my recruiting days, I can say is the best type of candidate is one that can just tell the recruiter and the prospective employer, I know you can address it. You should address it without them having to ask, and just say, I know I've been with my current company a few weeks. The job was completely different, and the company, I saw some things, some red flags, and right now it's not in my best interest to stay there, and they deserve an employee, or, you know, they need someone also that's into their corporate culture, which I realize is not a fit for me. And then you pivot. So you want to be really succinct, tactful. Have that elevator, it's like an elevator pitch, but have that statement prepared ahead of time so you don't fumble on the words. Less is more, and then you pivot. But what I really want to do is, let's, you know, I excel in the areas of sales and marketing, and can you tell me more about this position and your culture here? I read on your Twitter account that you exceeded sales the past quarter from last year, and can you talk a little bit about that? You want to, address it, and then focus on your loyalty and commitment to the role, that this is an anomaly. It's not like you go into every job only staying a few weeks or even months. Like, you are committed to stay, and you're also committed to a fit. And so as you interview now, you really want to be incredibly aware of what they say. You want to look out for more potential red flags or green lights. Maybe it is a fit, and you're really liking what they say, and it sounds like a much better situation and environment for you.
And Ali, in your story, you finally said, as one of your final points, that mingling with people is really important as well. And I wonder how much of all of these issues that one faces during the first 100 days, how we determine whether they are growing pains or they're, you know, adjusting to a new job, and how much are actually real problems.
Yeah, absolutely. So you are spending like 8 hours a day at least with these people. It's important to like them, or at least to be comfortable with them. And I found in a survey that 2/3 of the 716 full-time workers questioned said that if they had 6 or more workplace friends, they loved their company. And 55% of them said that work relationships were extremely important to their quality of life. So this is, you know, it's an issue if you're going to work and you're not happy with the people that around you, or you don't feel supported, or you just can't talk to anybody.
Jacob?
And not to harp on this too much, but I think, again, you know, some of this comes down to getting a sense of things before you get in the job. I think this is where networking can play a good role. You know, I think we often focus on networking as, you know, you network to find opportunities for you to get hired somewhere. But it's just as much about that as it is about finding the places that you want to work, finding the people that you want to work with. So let's say if you're in a field like if you're in communications and there are communications networking events in your city, you know, you can find out what other companies out there might fit the type of people that you want to work with or the type of environment you want to be in. And so it's not just about mingling before, but mingling after you get in the job, but it's also about, like, you know, developing these relationships with people beforehand so that you're not going in completely blind. I think a lot of us fall into that, where we go into a job where we don't know people and we don't have a good sense of what people are going to be like. But, you know, those networking events, those informational coffee chats that you have with folks, those can really help you be able to suss out these things so you don't find yourself in that position where you're having to leave a job after such a short amount of time in it.
So when we started this conversation, we spoke about President Trump and his first 100 days. He, of course, is the president and he's the boss. And what happens when your job in that first 100 days in the corporate world, what happens when you're the boss? I guess, Vicky, that you have more power to change things, right?
Well, I think that with the boss, it depends on the situation and the industry. But overall, you would think that you would have more control, let's say, on shaping that job if it's not specifically what you thought it would be. But just keep in mind, according to a recent Monster survey, more than 50%, it ended up being 64%, of respondents said that the most important thing an employee should do during the first 100 days at a new job is understand expectations for your role. So that's the boss as well, because the boss may get in there and not realize, like, okay, now I have 3 dotted line direct reports, and I report to a new director that just started as well. So it could also add a few layers of stress. So I think it's important to look at your role and your vision for the department and see if that vision that you discussed during the job interview with your boss at the time is still going to hold true, because you may get there and realize, okay, this company is in a different direction, or maybe they got acquired, or things could have happened recently. But as a boss, it's less likely that you're going to jump ship as quickly, because you might feel like you have more obligations, especially if you were brought on to, let's say, run a new desk or manage a new client, per se. But still, you need to evaluate things as well and say to yourself, okay, is this where I can thrive and reach my fullest potential, or am I going to hit a lot of red tape here, and is it going to be insurmountable? So there are a lot of questions you need to ask yourself and be proactive. Going back to the beginning of our conversation, it's important to be proactive within those first 100 days, speak with your supervisor, set goals for the year, evaluate what this job is like, what you thought it would be like versus what you're actually doing. Do you enjoy it? And also where you can take that department, and is that a real possibility now that you're on board?
Vicky, thank you so much. That was really helpful. And Jacob Passy, thank you for joining us. For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts.
The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.